Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I could preach on Paul, but I'm not. Lynn was saying one of our preaching gatherings, everyone seems to skip over Paul. And there's just so much there sometimes. It takes us a long time to begin our dig. There's a lot of Mark. Mark's interesting because most scholars would pretty much in agreement, he just created that story. I mean, we hear it as if, kind of like I was reading the story of Abraham Lincoln and his mom and dad, they got, things are rough down in Kentucky, so decided, well, we're going to have to move up to Illinois, and it's kind of like a travelogue. That's kind of, sometimes we'll hear that, whoa, it's kind of fascinating. Picked up, started going to other villages and healed some people. And scholars say, no, Mark just created this. But he created it for a reason. Because he wants his narrative to move. And he wants Jesus to start visiting other villages. So the whole point of the whole little passage was he went to other villages. But I wonder, there are 10,001 ways to write a transition in a story. That's being conservative, right? I think it's a number of ways. You could have said, well, Jesus, he wanted to visit some cousins out in eastern Palestine. So he took off and he hiked out there with some folks. Or chicken soup. He's a good Jewish fellow. He wanted some chicken. I mean, I know it's silly, but why? He just come up with a story. He took off. Why would you write about demons and healing? There's a reason that Mark's community wrote this transition. We wouldn't write it. I mean, not too many of us write about demons anymore. But I think it's important. The transition is important here. There's a reason that community wrote this transition and not another. And it has to do with demons. And healing. So demons, maybe we think of The Exorcist or The Omen. But in Greek, it just means a lesser deity. So there's an issue Mark seems to believe we have with lesser deities. They make us sick. They disorient us. Whatever a lesser deity is. But it's not the mystery of God. It's something else we take to be God. That's what makes it lesser. And it confuses us, and it disorients us, and we get lost. These demons. So, I kind of imagine us as human beings, when we're born, we have this magical quiver that's on our back. But there aren't arrows in the quiver, and what makes it magical is that what the quiver is filled with is all these flags. It's kind of like the flags you'd see on a giant slalom race course down the side of a mountain. And it's magical because the quiver never runs out of these flags that are on your back. And what these flags are about is we're born with this little baby. We give this little gurgling sound, and our mother is just besotten with us. And before we can even think, that little smile from our mother or father or grandparent, it just goes right to our core. We love that smile. And a little flag is planted. Oh. I like it when this happens. I will be the kind of child that smiles like this. There's a little flag of identity right in our heart, right in the land of our heart. It starts us out on our journey. It's like our journey is going to be up this long mountain, and we start planting these flags, the flags of our heart. You know where that little toddler finally can let go of the chair and makes its way across the room and was running and And the parents are clapping. And another little flag is planted, a nice bright red one with strength and power. Oh. We get our way off to kindergarten. We go around the corner and mom's not there and the flag is planted. We go to high school and we meet new friends and we have good grades. And we're on debate club or we play a musical instrument or we bring home a painting or we write an essay. We're just planting these flags and they quiver. I mean, they're always there. There's always another, we never run out. And we begin to weave our story as we're going up this mountain. And we maybe go off to trade school, become a mechanic, or we found a spouse, or we decide we're better off living on our own. And we're planting these flags, we get our degree. We find a place to live. We make a life, and our friends love us. They don't love us. They love us again. And we plant the flags, and we continue to trudge up the mountain, and we begin to realize after a while that we never get closer to the top. But we keep planting the flags. We've learned, we know how to do that. And it gives us a sense we're on a path, and we can turn around and look back, and there it is. There they all are. And it's like we would like to have the opportunity to turn around, strap on the skis, and just go down among all those flags we've planted. Let them touch us. Touch them. Let them, their stories come to life again. That's who we are. That's who we've been. It's like every flag we planted is a messenger. In Greek, an angel. It's a messenger. Oh, there's a beauty in what we've created, and the lives we've touched, and the journey we've taken. And there's our identity. It's right there. All those flags. There's something amazing about that journey. And what's tricky is that there's something so seductive about that journey. Isn't it? I mean, there's just something so seductive because we begin to take the flags for who we are. They give us our worth. They tell us we have value. We can point to them. And others can point to them. And we're somewhat of substance. But what happens is they become our substance. They become our value. They become our worth. They become who we are. In Mark's work, they become demonic. They take hold of us. And we have no idea who we are without them. Perhaps the most important story, I believe, in all of the Old Testament is the story of Moses. And he's making his way up the mountain. He's going up Mount Sinai. And I imagine he's planting the flags under each muttered breath as he's going up the mountain. And I don't know if you've climbed mountains. And Reese and I have been up the Tetons and other mountains. Once you get a certain elevation, you're climbing for a while, your lungs start to burn. Especially if you're not a mountaineer. It's tough work. And you get on a glacial field and you're trying to make your way gingerly across it and you're working hard and it seems like you're never getting to the top. And you reach a point where you just stop, you've had enough. And your lungs are on fire. And you're talking to yourself, you're muttering to yourself, why am I doing this? And that's Moses. You know, talk about the burning bush. I mean, the man's on fire. He's climbed a long ways. Maybe not in the best shape. And his lungs are on fire. And he has this realization, this absolutely stunning realization. He takes in a breath and he lets one out. I am who I am. I am he realizes that this God he's been searching for and trudging up this mountain for is his very breath, it's his very being. I am who I am. It's none of the flags. I am who I am. And he rests. He rests in the realization of the truth of who he is and who God is. It's not, I am a warrior. I am your monarch. This is a very hard truth for us to come to know, not in our heads, but in our bodies. And Israel and Christians and Muslims are going to struggle with this basic realization that Moses had. Because we always turn God into a doer. I am, let's go back to Isaiah. It's not that long afterwards. I am the God who stretches. I am the God who reduces. I am the God who blows. I am the God who drills. I am the God who is doing and doing. The amazing thing about God the Creator is God creates by not doing anything. That's what's unfathomable. God creates by being. I am who I am, and we come to be. This is the deepest longing for our souls as creatures. We don't trust that we'll be created by simply being the truth of who we are. We work so hard at it. We're so diligent. We're so sincere. We're so confused. In the language of Mark, we're so possessed by demons. The demons of our beautiful flags. Because they are beautiful. This is so practical for us. Yesterday, we celebrated the life of Bill Oswald. And there are amazing stories told during the eulogy. That guy planted a lot of flags, didn't he, Jim? He touched a lot of lives. And a lot of lives touched him, and it was beautiful. You had seen those false flags planted up some mountain. It would have been a glorious sight. But that's not what was most remarkable about his life for me. Because I only know Bill in the last 10 years, since his Parkinson's and his other disease, I can't remember the name, such a rare neurological disorder. In the last 10 years of Bill's life, he didn't plant any flags. I am who I am. That's the gift Bill gave his family the last 10 years, as they cared for him. It's a gift I don't believe we really come to know its richness until many years have passed, because it's so counterintuitive. I am who I am, and I am Bill, and I'm losing my mind, and I'm losing my body, and he's beautiful. Many of you may not have known Bill when he would come up for communion, and I would give it to him, and his body was shaking, and he couldn't get the words out, and he was beautiful. He was absolutely stunningly beautiful, and he nurtured me, and he nurtured many people. I barely knew him, and his heart touched mine, simply by breathing, I am who I am. This is what Mark is getting at. There is a beauty in the simplicity of our soul, that we nourish each other more than any flag can. We kind of nurse each other along. So I'm going to close with this. A number of years ago, I think before Lisa and I had kids, we've always been campers. I think it was in the on the wet side of Oregon. And the dry side, which most people don't realize, it's most of the state. But on the western side of the mountains. Got up in the morning and we went on with the ranger. This is how I remember it. Our memories are so faulty. Mine is. But we're on this ranger hike in the morning, out in the rainforest. And we come across this opening, and there's huge mammoth Douglas fir laid out. It's been there, I don't know how long. with all this moss on it and these little insects and critters making a nest in there. The ranger said, you know, for so many years as a ranger, we believed that was debris. And we needed to clear it out so we'd have a healthy forest floor. It was just dead debris getting in the way. It served its purpose. It's lived its life. Not just planted all those flags and all those things. But it's dead. But she said, you know what we call that log now? It's a nursing log. Is that gorgeous? It's a nursing log. And as it decays, as it, I am who I am, because this is for all creation. All this life is coming up around in and through that decaying piece of Douglas fir. That's all right. That was Bill, these last 10 years. It's like a heavenly chime. We choreographed that.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. If the tree claims to be that towering Douglas fir forever, it's never nursing. And the forest dies. Bill offered gifts that it'll take of a lifetime of his kids to realize. And you and I, as we learn to let go of our flags, not deny them, not denigrate them, just let them go. And breathe in, because I am who I am. The demons don't possess us anymore. Or maybe they possess us a little less. And we live. We're like the woman who Jesus pulls up. The fever's left you. The fever of having to plant all those flags. And you can live. You can relax. You can enjoy a life that is very precious and very short. And very worth the living. Amen.